Bard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and everybody welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to Genesis chapter 17, verse 9, where we left off last time. Genesis chapter 17, verse 9. Last time, God had again approached Abram. His name had not yet been changed, and he said, I am definitely going to keep my covenant with you, and I'm going to send Messiah through your lineage, and Messiah will be my son, and he will shed his blood for the remission of our sins. The only thing about that was, it was no problem for God, but Abraham was 99 years old, and his wife Sarah was 89 years old. Now, of course, we're going to find out that with God, all things are possible. And then God changed Abram's name to Abraham. Why did he do that? Because when God shows up, God changes things. When you got saved, there should have been a change because you took on the name of God. You called yourself Christian. Well, Christ is the anointed one, the Messiah. So there was supposed to be a change. So when God shows up, things change. God's sacred name, which is the etymology of the I am that I am, which God spoke to Moses at the burning bush. The etymology of that is in Hebrew, Yahweh, Y-H-V-H. In Hebrew, there are no vowels. You take the consonants and you beautifully roll them together with a good, clear speaking voice, no mumble, no swallowing, no lips closed, and it comes out so beautiful, Yahweh. It's spelled Y-H-V-H. So he took one of the H's and loaned it to Abram, and his name became Abraham. And we learned last week why the H, because H is the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and five in biblical numerics is grace. Messiah was going to come through that lineage, and we are saved by grace of faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there we have it.
And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. Verse 10, This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after you.
So God says, now I've promised you, Abraham, you and Sarah, Sarai at that point, name not yet changed, are going to have a son. Don't forget about your age. With God, all things are possible. And from that lineage will come the Messiah. And so he says, I want to remind you, and here's something I want you to do, Abraham, to show that you believe me. See, God knew it was going to be. Abraham loved God and believed him, but it was getting harder for him. He's getting older. See, I want you to understand, faith is an act. In other words, when you have read God's word and God's promise and you've prayed, then you act like what you prayed for is. Faith is an act. So he said, I've got something I want you to do to show me that you believe that I'm going to send my son to shed his blood and die for your sins. Now he's going to tell him what to do, and it's going to be a sign, a token.
Every man among you shall be circumcised, 11, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of the foreskin.
Okay, now you say, what? You do that? Yes, the circumcision isn't cruel. It's a little incision, and it lets the blood of the foreskin of the male. He said, this is the sign. Now, I know some of you are saying, what kind of sign is that? And why would God choose that part of the male anatomy to do such a thing to let the blood? Well, I asked God and he answered me. Would you like to hear what he said?
Yes.
Okay. In the Bible, we're told that David, King David, you know who killed Goliath?
Yes.
David is the stem, S-T-E-M, of Jesse. In other words, Jesse is the father of David. God calls us trees of righteousness. We are, these are the branches, and sometimes one has a stem. The male has a stem. David is the stem of Jesse, meaning he came through there, okay? Now that's connecting that body part, but listen what else God showed me. This is mystery. God's son, Jesus, is the stem of Almighty God the Father. How about that?
Yes.
Now, God is a spirit, so there's no physical interaction there. But God sowed his son. Jesus is the stem of God the Father. Now, you say, well, okay, I can understand. Okay, so the Father, is each male is going to be circumcised. What does it mean? It means that God is sending through his stem the Son Jesus, and it will be through the Virgin Mary. No male will be involved because Jesus is the stem of God the Father. He is the one that covered Mary there. But then why the blood? Because the whole purpose for Jesus to come was to shed the blood for the remission of sins. Why the blood? Because the life is in the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And again, because it's that part of the anatomy, it is through that part of the anatomy that God places the seed of every soul that comes in into that stem of the male father. He puts that seed of life in there, and then that seed comes out and is planted. And so Jesus, when he came out, he bled. Now, Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, that once Jesus paid the sin debt and became that circumcised lamb and shed that blood, that Christians do not have to be circumcised anymore. If you want to do it for hygiene's sake, that's okay. But he said circumcision is no longer of the flesh for male or female, but is a circumcision of the heart. Because when Jesus paid the sin debt, Jesus did away with all blood ordinances. See, we don't ever sacrifice animals anymore. And the same thing with the circumcision. Again, if you want to do it for hygiene's sake, that's okay, but not as a blood ordinance. Does everybody understand?
Yes. Yes.
So now when the Holy Spirit moves on you, your heart, circumcision of the heart, your heart, when you got saved, was pierced, cut, it split, it bled because of God's love that God sent his son to bleed and die for you.
Amen.
And so your heart was bleeding. You know how people make fun of us bleeding hearts? I'm one of those. I'm proud to be a bleeding heart, aren't you? I pray your heart bleeds forever with the blood of Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful explanation?
Amen.
I would have clapped for that.
And it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you.
So now I'm going to have you get everybody circumcised, Abraham, and that's a sign that you believe me. Remember, it's God is the Father, and it's his stem is Jesus, and out comes the blood that he shed.
12, and he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you.
Now, of course, Abraham's going to have everybody in his household circumcised because they've never been. But the rule then on was when the baby's 8 days old, you circumcise it. Remember the gospel? Mary, who was Jesus' mother, but Joseph, who was not Jesus' father, but loved him anyway, stepfather. They took him to the temple when Jesus was 8 years old. Remember that story? And he was circumcised, and Anna was there. She was great of age, and all kind of good things happened. So even Jesus obeyed that law.
Every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed, 18, he that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised.
I want everybody in your house. So Abraham was very wealthy. He had servants. He had hired people. And in those days, whoever was the lord of the manor, like Abraham, he took care of everybody. He got them tents and he took care of their children. And it was like almost like a commune. He loved them all. So what this does, it means I want everybody in your social activity to be circumcised, he says. Everybody in your family to be circumcised, every male. So see, Christian, everybody in your family, you must be equally yoked or there's something wrong. Your relationships, your friendships, your marriages, your work, wherever there is just one person who's not circumcised of heart, breaks the fellowship. Do you understand?
Yes.
We are not to be unequally yoked. It doesn't just mean in marriage, but it means in friendship, in social life, in workplaces, in families, in church.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant.
So by doing this in the flesh, you're seeing a picture symbol of God the Father, seed through his stem, spiritually speaking, and then paying the sin debt. You know, you might wonder why God uses pictures so much. Everything is, you notice he speaks in parables all the time.
Yes.
He showed me why. His name is called the Word of God, John 1:1. In beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. But see, a word doesn't have a body. The Word, God existed before there was a flesh man, a woman. And the Word is not a book. The Word existed before there was a book. So the Word doesn't have any form. It's full of alphabet letters. We're studying them on Wednesday night here, the Hebrew alphabet. But a word makes a sound, and then when you put those sounds together, you form a picture. God loves plays. God loves drama. God loves pictures. He tells everything. That's why he calls everything is a parable, because he's the Word. And when you're the Word, you're just constantly putting the words together in beautiful pictures.
Amen.
14, and the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people.
In the natural, if you've got one person in your family and you're gathered around the table, or you've got a social group and one of them, and they don't love the Lord and the rest of you do, or at work everybody does but one doesn't, it's an uncomfortable feeling. You can feel it. Anybody who is filled with the Holy Spirit senses those things, and you can feel it. And so he says, you don't belong there. We're not to be unequally yoked. But the truth is, what it means is that eternally, anyone who's not circumcised of the heart, who's not had a heart change by the blood of Jesus, then they are cast off forever. No eternal life.
He hath broken my covenant. 15, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. 16, and I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her.
So now he's going to change Sarai's name to Sarah. Did you see he gave him the second H?
Yes.
God gave Abraham the first H and he gave Sarah the second H. I mean, what you want is God's double whammy name on you. They put the H there too, and that is number is grace. You notice he said, I'm going to bless her. In Bible times, it was a disgraceful woman not to have a children. That was her whole purpose. And so if she didn't, she thought she was under the curse. So God said it twice in the mouth of two or three witnesses. A matter is established, say the scriptures. So she said she's not going to be cursed anymore. And she'll be called the mother of many nations. Like Abraham's name means the father of many nations. One man of one skin color, cannot father people of all races, so it doesn't mean that he's biologically the father or that she's biologically the mother. It just means that Jesus, the Messiah, is coming through that lineage, and whosoever believes in Jesus, whosoever will, may come, red, yellow, brown, black, or white, all nations.
Amen.
And she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her.
In other words, it looked bad for her, but look at it. You know, he says your latter end will be greater than the former. In other words, God watches the person who gives their life to him. And we go through many, many trials and many, many targets of Satan and many, many griefs. But God promises that when you start getting to the latter end of this flesh life, it's going to be better than before. Isn't that an awesome thing to know? Absolutely awesome to know.
17. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old?
Now, don't be too hard on Abraham. He's not doubting God. But what it is, he is pushing 100 and Sarah's pushing 90. God told him when he was 75 years old that he was going to have the promised Messiah, not himself, but through that lineage. God wanted the lineage pure. And now he's almost 100, and he's been waiting, and he's been obedient. He still believes God, but sometimes when you've been under pressure a long time, one of the ways you react is just by laughing. You understand?
Yes.
It's almost hysterical. And I think that Abraham was so hysterically glad to hear God hadn't forgotten that. And then, let me explain this. Abraham and Sarah hadn't been in there, as that commercial about those roaches on the refrigerator says, doing that in a long time. I mean, actually what happened in there, they were kind of thinking about it. And Abraham would say, Sarai, and it was Sarai then, do you have any more of that salve left that that woman 3 tenths down gave you? It'll help my back not hurting. I got it, but I can't get up because I'm hurting too, but I think it's over there by your side. And then she says, could you hand me one of those pillows? My legs are hurting. I can prop them under. I mean, we're not thinking about romance. In other words, and suddenly he begins to look at his body. His body's weak. And he thinks of Sarah. And he just burst out laughing. Well, you know, we're going to find out that the son's name's going to be Isaac. And Isaac's name means laughter. You think God doesn't have a sense of humor? When you stop and think of how God created a way for each soul to come into this earth age, it is rather funny, isn't it?
Yes.
You have such a great sense of humor, all of you.
And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear? 18. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee.
Abraham stopped laughing. By this time, he'd fallen in love with his 13-year-old son, Ishmael. God had said, Ishmael's not the promised seed, because God said, do not mix the races, do not mix the seed. God loves them all, but each after his own kind. And Sarai had messed that thing up by doing all of that, getting her mate Hagar to go in with Abraham. So Ishmael's mother was the Egyptian Hagar. So God says, I love Ishmael, but he's not going to be the promised son. See, Abraham was thinking, oh, well, then you must be going to use Ishmael. At least he is my son. I know he's not Sarah's. Couldn't you just use him? He loved Ishmael, and he thought maybe that he could be the promised one.
19. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed.
I am telling you that Sarah is going to bear the promised seed.
And thou shalt call his name Isaac.
Isaac means laughter. Good name, right? In other words, but you know, it's so beautiful. The Bible says, in Isaac's sons, in Isaac's sons shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Why? because in Isaac's sons, umbilical cord to umbilical cord, finally came the anointed one, the Messiah, Jesus, who was circumcised of heart and bled for our sins. And whosoever will may come. And so everybody is blessed in the seed of Isaac. Do you understand? Absolutely. Hallelujah. But you know what? I know you say, well, I'm not going to be very cheerful today. I've come to church, but you don't understand, Sherry, I've got problems. And, you know, I'm tired, but I'm listening. I'm here. What a good person I am. I got here. You ought to be jumping from the chandeliers. You ought to be shouting and clapping. God is in this place. In other words, we have eternal life. Why are you so dead? Dead people don't long in heaven. So, now just forget your troubles and start dancing a happy dance.
Amen.
And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. 20. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him.
I'm blessing Ishmael. Don't you worry about him.
And I will make him fruitful. I will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he begat.
Now this happens to be true. Ishmael had 12 sons. They are not the heads of the 12 tribe of Israel, but they were called dukes in the Bible. We'll study about them as we go along. D-U-K-E-S, in other words, royalty. You've heard of Duke so-and-so and Duke so-and-so. And what they are, and he says he's going to make a great nation, they are all of the Arab nations today. In other words, all of those Arabs that you see fighting the Isaac, and then of course actually a lot of Isaacs here in America, more of us, but people don't know that. But all of those that are fighting over there, that's this, their mother was Hagar and their father was Abraham. And that's why they're fighting. They didn't understand they were not the promised seed. God loves them and they're great people and God loves them. But they didn't quite understand the whole story. So they are a great people. All the Arab nations today, every day you turn on the news and you hear about that, right?
Yes.
Now you know who it is right here.
Yes. And I will make him a great nation.
And that would be the Arab nations of today, all of them put together as one.
21. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac.
My contract, my Abrahamic blood covenant is with Isaac. It will be through Isaac that Jesus Christ will come and shed his blood. And God has spoken, and that's that. And guess what? That's what happened.
Amen. Which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time next year.
In other words, God said, I'm writing it down in my day planner. 1 year from today, Isaac shall be born. You know what? They always like to say God's never late and he's never early, but he's never late. I will tell you something. It may seem it's too late, but I have found God's timing is always right. Amen. I mean, sometimes it's the last minute, but it just comes in just like that. And he knows how to do it. So God has a set time for everything that is your destiny. And make sure you keep your appointment.
Amen.
22, and he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham.
God always goes up. He never goes down.
23, and Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in that same day.
I bet you Sarah was peeping behind the tent door.
As God had said unto him. 24. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. 26. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael his son.
Now that's a benchmark day for father and son.
27, and all the men of his house, born in the house and bought with money of a stranger, were circumcised with him.
Do you know what happened though? That was the contract. The blood of Jesus then covered all of Abram's tent and all the property around and everybody in there, and even seed that they would have. Don't you love to go to a place where the blood has been applied, where the blood of Jesus has been covering that? Oh, what a holy ground. You want to go always where the blood is.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 18, verse 1. And the Lord appeared to him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day.
He was trying to get cool because it was hot.
Verse 2. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood.
Okay, three men stood there. Now, the definition of an angel is a young man. I have seen quite a few, and they represent themselves in many ways. But like all of us, we shall be as the angels. We'll be as young men. There won't be any need of the womb. And there's neither male nor female nor Greek or anything else in the kingdom. And so he sees them, but only two of them are going to learn are angels. And one is the Lord himself. One is the Lord, and two are angels. You noticed he looked and saw them? Abraham saw angels. Abraham saw the Lord. You say, whoo, I never do that. Hebrews, seeing. We're surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses, meaning the heavenly hosts. The Bible tells us the angel of the Lord encamps round about those who fear him and delivers them. He sent his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They bear you up in their hands lest you dash your foot against a stone. Angels, ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for heirs of salvation, seeing. Do you understand that you are a spirit? You keep thinking you are your body, your flesh, and so you think like the world, and it's your house and your car and your box and your bathroom, and this what you can see in my bank account. Oh my God, that's just one little fraction of what you are. No, the kingdom is at hand. You're a spirit and God is a spirit. And it is more natural to see the angels of the heavenly host, and yes, even the demons trying to come against God. This is natural. Physical is unnatural. I know we got to go through it, but remember this was because of Satan's rebellion in the first earth age. So, as you seek the kingdom of heaven, with all your heart you'll find the kingdom, and the kingdom is just filled with heavenly hosts. Amen. The prophet Elisha knew that. Amen. He was surrounded by an earthly army. His poor little servant couldn't see the heavenly angels. He was scared. And Elisha prayed, God, I ask you to open the young man's eyes that he may see. Oh, and the place was surrounded by the heavenly army there to fight for him. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, I know you have to do what you have to do in the physical, and so do I. But see, it's natural to be supernatural. It's not natural to be blind physically to any of the things going on. Anybody who's living in the kingdom now is aware of the feelings and the motions and the movements. We say, he's moving now, he's moving now. You know when someone walks in that's a demon, or someone walks in who's got a good heart. That's natural.
Amen. Amen. By him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground.
Abraham would never worship angels, never worship angels. The one he's bowing to is the Lord himself.
3, and said, my Lord, if I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. For let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet.
In other words, your feet are dirty. We better get wash your feet. He was not insulting them. They didn't have paved roads then, and they would walk in sandals, and the feet would get so dirty. So it was good manners. Everybody, as soon as someone came to your door, you would go get a pail of water and wash their feet. It's just called good manners. So he said, let me wash your feet.
And rest yourselves under the tree. 5, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort your hearts.
And let me go get some food and comfort you. That's the first time we ever hear of comfort food.
After that you shall pass on. For therefore are you come unto your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. 6, and Abraham hastened into the tent, and Sarah, and said, make ready quickly the measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth.
They didn't have stoves, so they cooked on the fireplace. Make some hot biscuits, Sarah.
And Abraham ran into the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it into a young man. And he hasted to dress it. 8, and he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed.
That's baby steak.
And set it before them.
What was the butter for? For those hot biscuits.
He stood by them under the tree, and they did eat.
Now see, that too is the epitome of good manners. They wash their feet, and then they always feed them. It is still a mark of a compassionate elect. When somebody comes to your house, you want to offer them something to eat, even in the middle of the day. Could I get you something to drink? I baked a cake today. Would you like a piece of cake? It's just the way it is. It's just hospitality.
Verse 9, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent.
What the angel of the Lord was saying, I mean, you know, pretty soon you need to go in there and be with Sarah.
Verse 10, and he said unto him, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life.
In other words, you better get in there with Sarah, because I'm coming back 1 year from now and she's supposed to have the baby then, so y'all need to get working on this.
And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. 11, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah as the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, after I am old, shall I have pleasure?
She thought it was funny, too. Again, she means no harm. It's just, it is hilarious, because she's thinking, now look what she says about him. She's thinking of herself, and then she gets this picture of Abraham every night. Now listen what she says about him.
My Lord being all so old.
And good Lord, Abraham's 10 years older than I am.
13, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh?
Uh-oh.
Saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? Verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord?
That's all, say that. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Again, is anything too hard for the Lord?
At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. 15, then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not.
I didn't do it, not me.
But she was afraid. And he said, yea, but thou didst laugh.
Yes, you did, Sarah, I heard you. But the Lord's not mad at her. He understands that all of this is pretty overwhelming for them, and they're kind of laughing out of what in the world is this all about. And he's not mad because he's going to come through this lineage to pay the sin debt for all mankind. What a God we have, what a God we serve, that would go to so much trouble and the enemy would just keep messing up the seed line to try to prevent the Christ child from coming. Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
Is anything too hard for the Lord? No.
No.
With God, all things are possible. We'll begin right there next time, but let me introduce to you now the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, a man of God, my twin friend and our radio announcer, Scott Merson. How are you,
I'm
Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. I mean, what a great lesson. And just, you know, just everything wrapped up in there. It was awesome.
It's awesome. Scott, we're going to skip Mystery Moment today for time's sake, but let's go right on to Scott's stuff, because David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag, and what is Scott's stuff?
Jesus sprang out of Judah, which Moses spoke nothing of concerning the priesthood. For if one could come to perfection through the priesthood, it would be man-made. Therefore, all things must come through Jesus after the order of Melchizedek, a tribe which no man gave attendance to at the altar.
Thank you very much. That is so great. Melchizedek, yes. King of the just, we love him. A pre-incarnate Jesus before he was born through Mary. I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick, so get your sick ones around the internet or radio. But first of all, most important, if you're not saved, the Spirit and the Bride say come. Please pray this prayer with me and mean it, and God will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
I ask for forgiveness for all my sins.
Please wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Please wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in the Word.
Grow me in the Word.
And use me,
and use me
to be a blessing.
To be a blessing.
In the kingdom of God.
In the kingdom of God.
Jesus is my Savior.
Jesus is my Savior.
Amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that and meant it, Scott will give you my telephone number in a little while. Feel free to call and leave that on my voicemail, and I'll be praying for you. Now, let me pray for the sick. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, I ask that the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in your wings into the mid-back on both sides there, where there are muscles and tendons. There seems to be pain. There's some pressure there. Let the pressure cease in Jesus' mighty name. And let the blood start flowing there and proper circulation. And that's the mid-back on the right side and on the left side. And let the muscles relax and the nerves be unpinched. And let the blood flow. Hallelujah. There it is in Jesus' name. I feel that. I believe that. If you got that, you'll want to call and tell me. So from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, be healed. He sent his word and healed you with Jesus' stripes. You are healed. You know, when it says he is Yahweh Rapha, he is the Lord who healeth me, it means he's in the process of healing you. So even if you're here on one end of the healing, he is the Lord your healer, means he's in that process to activate your faith. So Father, you are Yahweh Rapha. You are the Lord who heals us. We thank you for the process of healing. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
Now, you know, nothing is yours to keep. Everything you get is to give away, and God will give you more, so you want to go and tell. Remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. That's Revelation 19:13. John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." I want to thank Scott Merson, our announcer, for his beautiful Scott stuff. We appreciate you, and we're glad to have you. And until next time, this is your host, Sherry Medlock, and I'm telling you that I love you, and some of you calling, and you sweet person who called me yesterday and said, "This program is spectacular." Thank you. Yeah. I think so, too, because the anointing and the word so spectacular. Yeah. And but thank you. That made my day. I appreciate it. You know who you are, and I love you. And so we appreciate that. And next time, I want to just say to all of you, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. Make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And I can't wait until we all get together. Remember, we're the family of God.
Yes.
We don't have to be together bodily. We're spirits, right?
Thank you, Lord.
And we're going to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth. Lord.
righteousness alone. Faultless stand before the
I'm And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
sins. To the righteous heart of God, I am.